22b1, Shabbos. 22b1. 22b1, the Gemara now attempts. This is about Hanukkah. There's no Mishnah Hanukkah. There's a little bit Gemara here. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Why is the Kodesh Kedoshim called Eidus? Because behind the Kodesh Kedoshim there's the Aron. What's contained inside the Aron? Lucho to Eidus. Aron to Eidus, Lucho to Eidus. The Ark and the tablets are called Eidus. What does Eidus mean? They testify. They testify that we have a unique relationship with God. So therefore, the Luchos and the Ark is called Eidut, because they testify to the unique relationship that we have with Hashem that no one else, no other people have. Even everyone is God's child, but we have a special relationship. So therefore, the menorah had to be lit outside of the curtain that shields the Luchos Eidus, that shields the Ark of Testimony. And you say a picture's worth a thousand words, right? Who said that? Picture's worth a thousand words.
Einstein
said that? I think Confucius said that, right?
Everything's from Jews, Rabbi. Right? You got it from the Jews.
So what is this pasuk describing? This pasuk is describing this. This is the paroiches, the curtain that shielded the Eidus. What's behind here? The Ark. The Ark is called Eidus because it testifies to our special relationship with the boss. So the menorah had to be lit outside the curtain in the Kodesh. This is called the Kodesh. The temple, the Mishkan, is divided into two sections. This is called the Kodesh, and behind the curtain is called the Kodesh Kedoshim. Okay, so this is speaking about the Mishkan. You see how it ties in with Hanukkah. So, we're back in the text now. Aaron shall arrange it. Look at footnote 9. You see that? Aaron or any Kohen shall prepare the lamps of the menorah for lighting. So the question is, does God need human light? Why did God command to light the menorah in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash? God doesn't need human light. God is the light of the world. We are the world. You have a question? What is it?
Why does he need anything?
V'chila, oyrohu tzarich. Does God need the menorah's light? V'loi kol arboim shana sh'holcha b'nei yisrael b'midbar. The entire 40 years that the Yidden traveled in the wilderness, loy holcha ela l'oro. They only traveled only by God's light. Look at footnote 10. As it says, for the cloud of Hashem would be on the tabernacle by day, and fire would be on it at night. So God is the light of the world. God led us through the darkness, through the Red Sea, in the Midbar. A pillar of fire led the Jewish people. So what does he need the light for? So what's the answer? Rather, it's a testimony for all mankind. Shashchina shara b'Yisrael. Again, testimony. Eidut.
What do you mean a testimony? How's it a testimony?
We'll see in a minute. You can ask your question. What are you talking about? We'll see in a minute.
You know, yeah, Rabbi, yeah. Many times you see that the Goyim couldn't see the divine light.
Yeah.
You see it in Mitzrayim with the darkness, plague of darkness. You see it in the dividing of the sea.
Right.
You see it with Abraham when he went with the Yitzchak to sacrifice him. He says, y'all see the...
They didn't see the light. But here, everybody could see. Well, who could see? Who goes into the Mishkan to see the light? I've seen the light.
But Goyim didn't go there.
That's right. The Yidden couldn't go in there either. Only the Kohanim could go in there.
So the Goyim, could they see?
So who could see? Well, even a Jew can't go in here. Even a Levite couldn't go in here. Only a Kohen on duty, David, could go in. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is asking that. This menorah testifies that the Shekhinah dwells with Israel. Look at note 12. The term curtain of testimony indicates that the curtain formed the backdrop to this testimony, this curtain. As the menorah stood outside the curtain. You see, the menorah stood outside the curtain. Okay, so back into Gemara now. My Eidus.
What is that room called?
what? This is called the Kodesh, and this is called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishkan, the Mikdash, was divided. Any Kohen can go here only when he's on duty. A Kohen can only enter the Mikdash only on duty. On his day off, when he wasn't in uniform, he couldn't just go in. And in behind here, only the high priest could go.
How do they clean
only
it?
Only one day a year.
How do they clean it?
How do they clean it? So the Gemara in Yuma speaks about it, that a cleaning crew would come in a box, like in an elevator. It's a problem how they clean it. A cleaning crew would come in, and they were not supposed to look, and all sorts of, tricks how the cleaning crew did come in. They were lowered through the roof in like in an elevator, and they, only supposed to do their task and nothing more. And cleaning crew could come in. That's the bottom line. But Tzairach.
I guess it's like looking at the rabbi. You couldn't look at him when they dug him up because he probably died if they looked.
Yeah. So anyway, we're helping over here. Ma edus. Omer Rav, Zu Ner Maravi. This is the western candle. The western candle of the menorah. The Ner Maravi, where's the Ner Maravi here? The Ner Maravi. See a nice picture of the menorah here. Where's the menorah? Right here. Where's the Ner Maravi? David, where's the western candle here? Who's good in directions?
It's on the western.
It depends. That west is there.
The Ner Maravi.
Direction of Tel Aviv.
The western side.
Yeah, the western side.
Only got seven pipes. You notice? Ours has eight. David, ours has eight. This only has seven.
Yeah, but that's a different menorah.
That's a menorah in the Mikdash.
Yeah. That's a menorah in the Mikdash, but that menorah is, the one we're doing is so different Nusak.
We have eight. They got seven.
You cannot copy things from the temple.
That's one reason. Why? How many days was the miracle?
8 days.
No. Seven. They had enough oil for one day, didn't they? They had enough oil for one day. We're going to learn
they
soon.
They went on for eight.
So the miracle is only 7 days.
First day is not a miracle.
The first day they had enough oil.
Yeah.
Why have an 8-day holiday for a 7-day miracle? This answer has over a hundred. This question has over 100 answers. You get the question, David? They had enough oil for one day, so the miracle is only 7 days. So why have an 8-day holiday for a 7-day miracle? There's 100 answers. One answer is Rav Kook says, if you're going to have a 7-day holiday, your menorah will have to have what?
Seven
pipes. You're not permitted to duplicate the menorah of the temple. So the rabbis had to make David an 8-day holiday to have a candelabra of eight pipes, because you're not permitted to have a menorah of seven. Did you know that?
Why is there seven? Why are there seven pipes in the?
Because Hashem commanded that.
Yeah.
Parshas Truma, God commanded that the Mishkan Mikdash menorah has seven pipes. So if the holiday was only 7 days, says Rav Kook, you would have to have a seven-pipe menorah in your living room, and you're not allowed to. So therefore what? Okay. The rabbis made the holiday what?
It's 8 days.
So you can have an eight-pipe menorah.
Yeah.
You'll check in any Orthodox shul in the front, there's no eight menorah. There's either six.
No, seven.
There's no seven. There's either six or eight.
Mm-hmm.
Check next time in Orthodox shul. You won't find a menorah with seven pipes. It'll either be six or eight, not seven. Because you're not permitted. All right, so we're helping over here. So anyway, the Ner Maravi, the western candle, was miraculous. Why was it miraculous?
It burned all the time.
Look at note 13.
Yeah.
Note 13. You have it?
Yeah.
The temple of menorah had seven lamps, David. You have that?
Yeah.
David, you mind reading note 13?
I didn't hear your answer to that. Do you know?
We didn't get an answer. Oh, you didn't have your glasses yet. Note 13, we didn't get to an answer yet. The temple of menorah had seven lamps into which oil and wicks were placed. There's a machlokas concerning the placement of menorah in the Heichal. Okay. The menorah Our authority were obtained to the menorah was positioned so that the lamps lined up from east to west. According to this opinion, the western lamp is the one next to the easternmost lamp. Another, okay. The western lamp, yeah. So anyway, it burned longer than all the others. Yeah. What's the point? Look, what about? The Kohen put the exact amount of oil into what? Into the cup of the western, as he did all the six, Avram. They each had the same amount of oil. Hanukkah is coming up, so we're learning, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's Shabbos 22b1. Shabbos 22b1.
Thank you.
So each cup of the menorah, the Kohen poured the exact same amount of oil. So they also burned the same long time, no?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
This was burning much longer.
Look at note 14. The aforementioned verse states, outside the curtain of testimony, Aaron shall 22b1. Aaron shall arrange it.
I'm sorry.
The Torah instructs the lamps of the menorah must be burned the entire night. Therefore, sufficient oil must be placed in the lamps for them to burn throughout the long winter nights.
Yeah.
Right? But a miracle happened. In the morning when he came in, what happened? All the others were gone, mm-hmm. burned out, except what? Guess what?
The western light.
The western. The western, it keeps on going and going and going and going. And from the western lamp, he would light all the other remaining lamps. Mm-hmm. And with it, late on the following day, he would conclude preparing the lamps for the next night's kindling. Look at note 15. The other lamps went out in the morning, right, Rav Yaakov? Note 15, you with me on this?
Yeah.
Rav Yaakov, want to read note 15?
Yeah,
the other lamps.
The other lamps went out in the morning, at which time the Kohen would clean them and replace their oil and wicks. The western lamp, however, miraculously burned throughout the day.
Burn, baby, burn!
Hence, its preparation for the next kindling did not occur until just at before evening, when the Kohen removed the still-burning wick and oil, refilled the lamp with oil, and put in the new wick, which he then lit with the old wick. The Kohen would then kindle the other lamp from the western lamp. This miraculous burning of the western lamp occurred only when the Jews were
beloved to God.
And thus served as a testimony that the divine presence dwelt with Israel. However, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol during the early years of the Second Temple, mm-hmm. the people were no longer worthy of this miracle, and the western lamp would go out
in the morning like all the others.
Tosafos, who raises serious questions with Rossi's
interpretation
and instead explains
to mean that Kohen concluded the next evening kindling with getting okay. Anyway, the bottom line is that the western lamp burned longer than all the others.
Out of the merit of Sarah, right?
And the merit of Shimon HaTzadik.
I thought Sarah, her light didn't go out. Wasn't her antenna?
Her light, but here it says in Shimon HaTzadik, when he died, the miracle stopped. He's asking a good question.
Because I heard from Sarah. Hers was a mini Mishkan.
Her tent was a mini Mishkan, you're right. So how come, when Shimon HaTzadik died, the miracle ceased?
Nobody left.
Yeah, but Shimon HaTzadik was in the second temple.
Right, second temple period.
Many things that didn't function in the
smoke didn't work anymore, right? Straight up.
Who said? There are 10 miracles that happened every day.
I thought in the second one they'd stop.
I don't know about that. Maybe those miracles happened in the second temple too. The 10 miracles happened. Right? It never rained, the rain never toot out the eternal flame, no flies. The column of smoke went straight up, even though it was a windy December. Those 10 miracles, right? And
the bread?
No.
The
Lechem Apanim, okay. God's in charge. That's a proof that God's in charge. That's right. Proof is that God's in charge. That's right.
So it was done in her merit, and until he passed away, that was.
Then the miracle stopped. I mean, he still continued to light the menorah.
Nobody left that.
Yeah. Now, what about the law of a guest? You're not home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be home for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be home for Hanukkah.
Oh.
So I'm going to be a guest. So what do I do?
Take a bottle of wine.
Take a bottle of wine? What a bottle of oil? Should I take the menorah on the plane and light it on the plane?
You're right.
No, the sky marshal won't like that. What? So that's what we're learning. Page 23A1.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 23A1 and see what I'm supposed to do. Joe. Up, up and away. Next week I'll be in New York.
Yeah.
New York, New York. What?
That menorah.
Yeah.
There's one that looks just like that, by the Kotel.
Right. That's seven pipes, right?
Is that the real one from the Beis Hamikdash?
That's the one that they're going to use in the Mikdash. See, you're not allowed to make a seven pipe menorah for your own personal use. But to prepare it for the Messiah, right on.
That menorah, that's
that right. Menorah is prepared for the Mashiach.
But that menorah came from the
No, they made it.
They just made it?
They made it. You can't make a seven pipe menorah for personal use. But to make it for the Messiah, build it and he will come. Who said that? Build it and he will come.
Build the dreams.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Build the dreams. You create your own reality.
Yeah.
Wow, but it's a small menorah. It's not that big.
No, menorah is huge. The menorah is the height of 6 feet. The menorah, look at Masechta Midot. The menorah was about 6 feet high.
How come they made it like this? The gold was like, if it was made out of gold, the arms would fold.
That's an S. It's a nest that the menorah, the pipes didn't collapse. Therefore, it's not pure gold. It's brass covered with gold. Because the laws of physics, Joe, that gold is a very soft metal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look in Rashi, Parshas Truma, Bezalel and Moshe tried and tried and tried.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it because the pipes were... Until Hashem said, you know what? Throw the whole mass of gold in the fire and out popped what?
Pop it out.
The menorah.
Oh,
so this menorah that you see by the temple is brass base overlaid with gold. Because under the laws of physics, a pure gold menorah, the pipes would collapse in onto themselves. So why did God tell Moses and Bezalel to knock their heads out? If it couldn't work anyway.
Yeah,
only when Moses and Bezalel tried Nachamol and Nachamol, only then did God say, okay, I'll take over. What's the proof? Like Frank said, this world's a partnership.
Yeah.
You've got to do as much as you can do, and only then can you expect God to help. Only when you do your best, only then will God do the rest. But you sit like this, Joe, ain't going to happen.
Does that, the story sounds similar, where somebody threw something into the fire and a golden calf emerged. And here, a golden menorah.
Will emerge, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, Lahabdil. But you know what David Goodman just said?
Yeah, that's interesting.
He said,
yeah,
a pasuk in Koheles. Zeh lo'umat zeh. Kiddusha versus Tumah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be this tension, this parallel. Zeh lo'umat zeh. Whatever is in the Kiddusha world has to be in the Tumah world. Why is that? To give free choice, playground to play out.
Free will.
To give the world an arena for free will. So, yes, there was a miracle by Kiddusha. There's also a miracle by Tuma. Satan, it's a test. It's a test. Will you stand fast? J.C. Penney did walk on water. And he did feed 100 people with one fish. So why did God allow that? It's a pasuk in Parshas Ki Teitzeh that God mentions J.C. Penney. It's amazing. Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Rambam said he's speaking about J.C. Penney. God is testing you. He's allowing the Koiches HaTumah to work wonders to test you. Will you stand fast or will you bend and break? Let me see what you're made of, says Hashem.
And they put his name in Bible quotes.
Zeh l'umat zeh.
Bible quotes. You know, it only came out one place.
Where?
Right where you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
Whose name?
Oh, so
J.C. Penney. Where did it come out?
The Rambam says, he's speaking about a false prophet who'll do signs and wonders. The Rambam says, speaking about J.C. Penney. Hashem says, don't be fooled, don't be deceived. Let me see what you're made of. When the going gets tough, get going.
I went to that seminar with it, and they said, look, we put them through, only one place it came
out. Okay, let's move on. Move in. So my case, Joe Siegel, what am I going to do? I'm going to be a guest, Avram. Mm-hmm. 23 Abraham 1, you with me or not? 23A1.
23A1.
Yeah, the Gemara discusses. You with me or against me? Now, before that, women have to light Hanukkah candles too. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
On top of 23A1 on the right side, Isha Vada Madlika. You have it? 23A1 on the right side, three lines from the top.
Mm-hmm.
See, it says however, or you don't?
Yeah.
A woman may certainly light the Hanukkah candles, right? Even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, women are usually what? Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Still, a woman may light for all her house members. Do you know that? Why may a woman light for all the members of her household? It's a time-bound mitzvah. And time-bound mitzvahs, women are usually what?
Exempt.
Why is Chinooka different, Avram? Tell me why. Omishir ben Levi. No, read.
Nashim chayvim b'nei...
B'nei Hanukkah.
Women are obligated in the midst of killing him.
Even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, women are exempt. Chinooka's exception to the rule, because they were involved in the miracle. Look at note number 7, Avram. Jewish women were
uniquely affected by the oppression.
A little slower, please. What?
Since the Greeks.
Jewish women were uniquely affected by the oppression.
Since the Greeks decreed that every virgin bride must first submit to the local Greek. Commander.
You know that? Every virgin bride must first submit to the local Greek commander. So they were saved by the Hanukkah miracle.
Furthermore, a woman actually served as an instrument of the miraculous deliverance for Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan, coming to Gadol, and the Greek general cheese to increase his thirst, and then gave him wine to drink. So he became inebriated. She then cut off his head.
She made him a head shorter, Joe. Literally, she made him a head shorter.
Yeah, the Book of Yudit.
So the Hanukkah miracle happened through a woman, and the Purim miracle happened through a woman?
And also in the Tanakh, some women...
Yael! She gave McSedman headache number 39. Yael! She put a tenth... Tank peg through his head. Oh, what a headache he got.
Who was that?
Right? Yael.
Sisera.
He was the Arafat of his time.
What, she made him a headache?
He was, you know, she got him shikar or fashlufim, and she smashed a tent peg through his head, Joe.
So you see how women are dangerous.
Women.
She made him a headache.
Next time a woman says, you want one glass of milk?
See, right. So anyway, Joe, women are instrumental in the miracle of Hanukkah and Purim. So therefore, women have to go read the Megillah too, or hear the Megillah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, since the whole Nes happened through Esther, the whole Nes happened through Yehudis, women both have the mitzvah of Hanukkah and Purim. Okay, good. Now what about a guest? You're not going to be home, Joe. I'm not going to be home. Omer Rav Sheshes. The Gemara discusses the law of a guest. You with me, Rabbi Yaakov, or not? I'm Rav Sheshes. Achsan Yechai Ben Erchanik. A guest who's not home for the holidays, I'll be home for the holidays. A guest who's not home for the holidays is obligated in the midst of lighting the Hanukkah candle.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Zera, what should he do? Meresh Kahavna Beirav. Initially, when I was a student in the Asper Yeshiva, and I was in the dormitory, what would I do? What would this guy do? What would he do?
You share to
I participated share. With my host in the mitzvah by paying him a few coins toward the cost of the Hanukkah light.
Yeah.
I chipped in.
Yeah, chipped in.
Look at note number 8.
Mm-hmm.
I chipped in with my host. Now look at note number 8, guys.
Yeah.
It is not necessary for a guest to divide the expense equally with his host. No. The contribution of a few pennies is enough.
Yeah.
Since for that payment, the host will convey a share of the oil to the guest.
Mm-hmm.
You become a shutev, Joe.
Yeah. Shutev.
This is when he was still a bacher, Joe Siegel.
Mm-hmm.
When he was still a bacher, a yeshiva bacher, so what did he do? He gave the Rosh Yeshiva a few pennies, and he lit for him, and he was a shutev.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bossa de nesivi, it's amina. However, now, after I got married, and I have a wife home, and sometimes I have to leave her for Hanukkah, I have to go to fundraising. Look at footnote number 9, Joe. And sometimes I have to leave home for Hanukkah to study Torah to raise funds, during which time I would be bored with others. So what would he do? Hashta vadai loitzichina. Now I am certainly not required to chip in towards the purchase of the Hanukkah lights with the guests that I'm staying. Why? to call Madliki Alai Bigoy Basai. Since they are light, my wife is lighting for me in my house. And this is the halacha. Did you know that? Ishtoi ki gufo. A person's wife is like what?
His body.
His body. So even though I'm 7,000 miles away, I don't have to light. I'm still going to light anyway. I'm a machmir. But mitzad adin, I wouldn't have to light where I'm staying because my wife is lighting home. But I want to be machmir, Joe. Machmir. Okay? But mitzad adin, wife lights even though you're not home. Ishtoi ki gufo, you're covered. Look at footnote number 10.
Yeah.
Footnote number 10. You with me, Rabbi Yaakov? Can you read that? The Gemara stated.
The Gemara stated above that a woman is fully obligated to kindle Hanukkah lights. Consequently, she is qualified to serve as her husband's agent.
Secret agent, man. Secret agent.
To perform the mitzvah for him. Hence, an absent husband fulfills his obligation when his wife kindles at home on his behalf, as long as he is certain that she is, in fact, doing so.
Wow. An absent husband fulfills his obligation when his wife lights at home on his behalf. As long as he is certain that what?
She will do it.
That she is doing.
I have a question.
But I have an option not to be yotze with her. I have an option that I want to be yotze in my guest home.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to me, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I can be yotze with her if I want, but I can say, no, I want to light myself. You make the call.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Normally on Shabbos, if somebody comes to your Shabbos table.
Right.
And... you're going to lie. I mean, you're going to do the Kiddush.
You'll do the Kiddush. Go ahead.
And you're going to Motzi. You're going to...
Motzi everybody. Right.
They don't have to give me any shekels for that.
No. So why is this different?
So
shekel. You asked a good tekasha. You asked a good tekasha. He's asking. You know if the kasha is asking.
Wow.
The Gemara says over here, if you're a student and you're not married, you have a wife lighting home, and you're a guest by somebody, you should chip in a couple of shekels with your host. If you have no wife lighting at home.
You talking about for Shabbos?
I'm talking about Hanukkah. So you're always asking, why don't you have to do that when a guy's Yotzi Kiddush?
Mm-hmm.
Because by Kiddush, you don't have to drink. People make a mistake. Kiddush, you don't have to drink the wine. As long as you hear the Kiddush, and a mole lugma is consumed by the participants, you don't have to be one of the participants. As long as you hear the Kiddush, and a mole lugma is consumed by the participants, even though you don't consume any, you're still yaitzah.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Here, you've got to enjoy the light. You've got to see the light. I see the light. Right? So you have to light. The Kiddush, you don't have to drink the wine. As long as the wine is drunk by the people at the table, you're yaitzah. Mashen came here, everyone has to have the lights. I've seen the lights, Joe.
So therefore,
by Kiddush, you don't have to chip in. You don't have to drink.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't have to drink.
Right. Here, everyone has to have lights.
So if you don't have a wife home,
then you have to light by your host.
So,
by chipping in a shekel with him. Whatever. Make him a shutev, right?
Now,
he could be Michael the shekel. He could say, I'm going to be your shliach, keep your shekel. He could do that also. I want to be your agent, keep your shekel. He can do that also. What?
So on Saturday morning, there's a Kiddush after service at Shul.
Right.
But then you're going to go home and say Kiddush. So then you should not be...
You must have ESP. I want to talk about that Sunday at Joel's house. Can he tape it? Is it possible? I want to talk about that.
I can talk to him. I don't know.
I want to talk about that in the Shabbos speech. I want to get that in. It's a whole discussion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Kiddush v'mokom suda.
Yeah.
About, you make Kiddush Friday night in shul. Isn't that a bracha levatola? You don't eat in shul. You have to make Kiddush where you have your meal.
Yeah.
So then you should...
Joel asked me to talk about that.
Okay.
Or Shabbos morning.
So let's talk. Can we talk? First of all, you have to make Kiddush where you have a Suda. The minimum of Suda, according to the Magen Avraham, is to drink two cups of wine. Or eat a piece of cake. If you eat a piece of cake, the size of the Kizai is to drink one cup of wine, or you drink two cups of wine, then it's Kiddush Mokam Suda. Do you mind closing the door? You staying? You going?
No, stay.
Oh, so please close the door. Have a seat. So Yaakov asked a good topic. I'm going to talk about it in Delaware. Okay, yes, a good topic. Let's just sum it up. Kiddush v'mokom, the rabbi said that Kiddush has to be v'mokom suda. That means that what? that Shabbos morning you hear Kiddush in Shul.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be Yotze with the Kiddush in the Shul, you have to have either 2 cups of wine or a piece of cake the size of a kezayis. With a cup of wine or 2 pieces of cake?
Arugula.
That's considered some arugula chanat kezayis. That's considered Kiddush Makom Suda, and your Yotze is the mitzvah of Kiddush. If you don't have that amount, 2 cups of wine or cake, then the Kiddush that you heard in Shul doesn't mean nothing. You have to repeat the Kiddush yourself at home. Now, let's say you did have 9 pieces of cake. Some people can't control themselves. Myself. You eat a lot of cake Shabbos morning.
Yeah.
And you heard the Kiddush. So you're Yotze Kiddush,
yeah,
right?
No.
How can I make Kiddush for my wife again? I'm already Yotze Kiddush. The answer is, all Jews are responsible one for the other. So even though I fulfilled my obligation of Kiddush, I had 9 pieces of cake, Joe. I like this.
You like the cake?
Ruggler. So even though I did my mitzvah of Kiddush, I can still make Kiddush for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bracha levatola, because all Jews are guarantors one for the other. Just like if I blew shofar, and I made the bracha, and I go to the hospital to blow for people that didn't hear, I could make the bracha 19 mm-hmm. times. Why not a blessing in vain?
You make it.
It's better if the sick person can make the bracha himself. Let's say he's too sick to make the bracha. I can make the bracha again and again. Why not a blessing in vain? All Jews are guarantors, one for the other. So even though I personally blew shofar and made Kiddush, I could make it for other Yidden, and it's not a bracha in vain, because we're all connected.
What if I go to someone's house?
You with me on that?
Yeah. This happens a lot. I go to someone's house for Friday night dinner or shopping.
Right.
And they said, do you want to make Kiddush, or do you want to be Yotze?
Right.
I mean, you can have like 3 men say Kiddush
right.
around a table.
That's a good question. So here we have Turcha de Tzibura. You have two. First you have Ravoy Vam Hadras Melech. Turcha de Tzibura. So that's a very good question. Shemeya Ka'one. So then it's a good question. If it's going to be a tircha, a delay, people are hungry, it's better for the host to make Kiddush and everyone want to listen intently. Right? If people are hungry. If people are not hungry, then you want to make yourself? Shemeya Ka'one. The problem with Shemeya Ka'one is we're afraid that you won't concentrate really good. Because if you miss one word, it's like you missed the whole paragraph. In order to be Yotze Kiddush, you have to hear every word and concentrate. If you start to wonder, so therefore people want to make their own Kiddush. Because Kiddush Friday night is a deraisa. And if you don't hear every word and concentrate, you're not Yotze. So therefore people prefer to make it on their own. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're able to concentrate and hear every word, then Shemeya Ka'ona. Listening is just like what? Listening is just like saying it if you listen. If you don't, fashlufim. Shemeya ka'one. So I prefer to make my own, but if it's not going to be a delay, you know, it's up to the balabusta. You know, if it's a tercha de tzibura, then one person should make it. Everybody listen intently, not that people are hungry, you know. You have to use the fifth of Shulchan Aruch. What's that common sense?
Mm-hmm.
But again, listening is just like saying it. But you have to listen to every word. Shemeya ka'one, Shemeya ka'one.
If everybody's doing it, say 3 people are doing it, do you have to, before you can say you've said it,
yeah.
Do you start eating then, or do you have to wait?
No, you can't. You wait for them.
No, but so each one of them has to say it too before you eat.
Yeah, unless one guy makes it, and then everybody's covered. Right? One guy makes it, everybody listens. Right? Okay. So this is the halacha. The halacha is an absent husband, Joel, fulfills his obligation when the Bible lights at home on his behalf. As long as he's sure that she is in fact doing it. But the husband has an option to say that no, he would rather light it himself in the guest house. Okay?
You know, remember the books I bought you about your 2 books that were set that talks about the parsha each week?
Right, right. It's very good.
It goes into depth about like Shabbos Day when you do Kiddush in the shul.
Yeah.
When you come back.
That's my talk. That's my talk on Joel's house.
The sources and
because
talks all about.
Yeah, does Joel make Kiddush Friday night in the shul? He used to, right?
Only if they had a dinner. Like once every month they would have a
dinner. Then, otherwise, it's a blessing in vain because Kiddush and Mokum Suda, right?
Yeah, no, they.
I'm going to talk about that. How to get around that? If you drink two cups of wine, that's your Suda, like, you know, the minimum two cups of wine. That's a Suda. But again, you can make for your wife at home,
yeah.
Because all Jews are guaranteed. Not even for your wife, for any Jew. It's not a blessing in vain, because if it's a Jew out there that didn't hear Kiddush, he's part of me, I'm part of him. We're all connected.
What about on Shabbos Day, Rabbi?
Go ahead.
You have to have mezonot.
Yeah.
So I was told that when you add barley or wheat into your cholent, you can have a bracha of mezonot on it.
Oh, if there's enough barley and wheat, the kezayis is the barley and wheat, though.
So you could eat the cholent.
And make that as a Kiddush Makam Suda, as long as there's a kezayis of barley in there.
Barley,
you know,
or wheat.
Barley or wheat.
Hello?
See, a shahakol is not a Suda. Shahakol is not a Suda. Herring is not a Suda. It has to be mezonot or barfi agafen to be called a Suda, minimum.
To
be called Kiddush Makam Suda, it needs either mezonot or gefen.
Or lechem min haaretz. I mean, it could be
certainly bread. Certainly.
Just gefen by itself would be a Suda?
Magen Avraham's opinion is if you drink two cups of wine, that's minimum Suda. That's his opinion. Two cups of wine or one cup of wine with a mezonis. Or two mezonis kezayises without wine.
Right.
All right.
Without wine, that's what it's still. Okay.
It's two kezayis as mezainis without wine. That's your suda, minimum. Of course, lechem. That's of course. This is even. Fashtay. Okay. Now, 23:82. Moving light along. What bracha do you make when you light the Hanukkah candles?
Mm-hmm.
What bracha do you make?
Oh,
You make three brachas, don't you?
Shechianu for the first night.
First night Shechianu, Lahadig Ner Shal Chanukah, and Asa Nisim, right?
Mm-hmm.
So take a look at 23:82. You with me? What's your name?
Moshe.
23:82. You with me? She makes Asa Nisim Lavoyseinu. You make right. Asa Nisim Lavoyseinu Bayom Mahem Bazman Hazeh Bayom Mahem Bazman Hazeh. What does that mean? Not just the miracles in those days. Bazman hazeh. We make a mistake, Moshe. We think that we're only lighting candles to thank God for the miracles 2,200 years ago. Bazman hazeh. Thanking God for the Lebanon War and the Gaza War and the Six-Day War. We don't know that. Bazman for the state of Israel. Every day that we live here is a miracle. They spit on us. A billion Muslims. They just spit on us. We drown in their spit. So we thank God when we light the Chinookah candle. Yeah, the Bazman Hazeh. Don't forget the end of the bracha. We thank God for the Bazman Hazeh too. People don't realize that. It began then, but it's ongoing, Joe. Now, what bracha do you make? The Gemara scrutinizes. Avram, 23, Abraham 2. This is Hanukkah next Tuesday night. You got to know this.
Tuesday
night. Tuesday night is Chinookah. Right? So you got to know, what bracha do you make? I won't be here next week. I'll be pinch hitting for me. I think Chaim Fasher. Chaim Fasher will be pinch hitting. A good guy. And 23:82 on the right side, the Gemara scrutinizes. Ma mevarech. See that the Gemara scrutinizes? Ma mevarech. Mevarech ashe kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa b'tzivanu hadig ner shel Chanukah. God, you have commanded us to light the Hanukkah candles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, last time I checked in the good book there, there's no Mitzvah Chanukah in there. The Hechem Sivanu, check the book.
Right.
It's not in there. It's not in there.
No.
The Gemara is asking, how could you make a bracha saying, God, you commanded me to light the Chanukah candles? The Hechem Sivanu. Nowhere in the Torah did God command us to light the Chanukah. God commanded us to shake a lulav. God commanded us to blow shofar. God commanded us to make to say Kiddush Friday night. But nowhere does it say that God commanded us Avram to what? So how could you make a bracha? Ain't it a bracha in vain? Ain't it a bracha in vain?
It sounds very much.
17:11. It says in the Chumash somewhere to light Shabbos candles.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the same question. Thank you. That's the same question.
For
make my day. It's the same question.
It's
the Zelbe Kasha. The Gemara is
forbidding Judaism.
So what's the answer? Where did God command us to light Shabbos candles? Nowhere.
7-Eleven.
It's only rabbinic. Ah, so the Gemara is going to get to your apostle, but before the Gemara gets to your apostle, the Gemara brings another apostle. However, the Gemara before Deuteronomy 17:11, the Gemara brings a, yeah, okay, you're right, Lo Sosur, you're right, it does bring Deuteronomy 17:11. You're with me, okay? 17:11, yeah, Rav Avi Amar Lo Sosur. It says in Deuteronomy 17:11, don't turn away from the rabbis. That's what it says, right? You see that? Rav Avi Amar Lo Sosur. You shall not deviate from the words that the rabbis will tell you. You see, footnote 22, Deuteronomy, you're right, 17:11.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though the Chumash doesn't say light Hanukkah candles, the Chumash tells you, listen to the Chachamim.
Yeah,
don't turn away from them. So if they tell you to light Hanukkah candles, it's like the Torah tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Torah does not tell you directly. It says, listen to the Chachamim. So therefore, we can say Tzivanu. We can say that God did command us. God did not command us to light the Hanukkah candles, but He commanded us to listen to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim commanded us.
Mitzorah.
Rav Nechem Yom is another pasuk, Gavim, another pasuk. Why you have to listen to the Chachamim, and it's like God commanded us. Ve'echem Tzivanu. Ask your father and he will tell you, and your elders, they will say to you. Look at footnote 24.
Mm-hmm.
Who are your elders? Who are your fathers? Who are they?
Who explains?
They're Chachamim, right?
By Rav Nechemia rejected Rav Ayas.
He needs another verse. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It took him in the Torah that say, listen to the Chachamim. Right? Right. So it comes out here, a big chiddush.
Mm-hmm.
When your wife lights candles every Shabbos, you have to tell her to have in mind two things.
Mm-hmm.
She's fulfilling the Rabbanan mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fulfilling Deuteronomy 17:11, which says what? Listen to the rabbis.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first one?
People don't. Must you marry?
No. What was the first reason?
No.
People don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're about to fulfill any rabbinic mitzvah, you have to have in mind that besides the rabbinic mitzvah that you're doing, you're also doing Devarim 17:11, which says, "Listen to the Chachamim." Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Mitzvah Shichas Kavana. It's a twofer. Joe Siegel's a twofer.
That's both Shabbos Kiddushes? Evening and morning?
Yeah. And Friday night, when you make Kiddush or hear Kiddush, it's a twofer. Saying the words is the Raisa, remembering the Sabbath, and the cup of wine is the Rabbanan. So every Friday night, David, you're doing a twofer. Mitzvah Trichas Kavana. You're doing the Torah mitzvah, remember the Shabbos to keep her holy. How do you remember the Shabbos? By saying the words. That's the Raisa. But when you're doing the cup of wine, that's the Rabbanan. It's a twofer. So when you light the Hanukkah candles or the Friday night candles, you're doing a twofer. Joe, I'm not joking. You're doing the Rabbanan mitzvah of the Hanukkah Shabbos, and you're doing the Torah mitzvah, which commands you to listen to the Chachamim. So it comes out something very strange, Rabbi Yaakov, that when you do the Rabbanan, it's twice as good. Why is it twice as good? Because
like
every the Rabbanan is also the Devarim 17:11.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. How much God loves the rabbis. You're doing it the Rabbanan, David. It's a doofer. It's the Rabbanan, plus it's the Torah, Deuteronomy 17:11, or ask your father and he will tell you, your elders. Your father and your elders, they are the Chachamim. Two psukim in the Torah prove that you have to listen to the Chachamim. That Hanukkah, you can say Tzivanu. Or Friday night candles, you can say Tzivanu. Or when you wash for the Tilas Yadayim, you say Tzivanu.
Because of 1711?
Because of 1711. Devarim 1711. So when you wash the Tilas Yadayim, you have to have in mind you're doing the Rabbanan and you're doing the Torah, which says listen to the Chachamim. It's a big chiddush, but that's what the Rambam and the Ramban say over here. Interesting.
The Deraisa is 1711.
The Deraisa is 1711. You want to see the verse tonight? Do the Rabbanan. Whatever the Chachamim say, it says, whatever they tell you, do, don't turn away.
That's the
Raisa. So is lighting Hanukkah candles the Raisa? No, it's not the Raisa.
Yes and
it's
no.
The Rabbanan. But indirectly it's a derisa. Yeah. It's not directly.
Mm-hmm. Indirectly.
The Torah just says, listen to the Chachamim.
Any Darabanan is a derisa.
It's not a real derisa. It's not a real derisa. No?
What? Because it then doesn't
it's, 7-11? It's just listen to the Chachamim. You're right. I hear. So does Aaron Berkowitz, your question is addressed in footnote 24, second paragraph. No? Mm-hmm. Footnote 24, second paragraph, ask your kasha.
As to why the justification provided by these verses does not change the very nature of the mitzvah into being Torah ordained, that means Doraisa. See opinions of Rambam, and
so they ask your kasha. So every Rabban is automatically Doraisa. They say no, not going to push it that far. Don't push the envelope, Harold. It's not going to go that far, okay? Don't push the envelope. We're not going to go that far. You hear? It's an asmachta. Lean on me. Okay, it's not going to go that far. You're not going to push the envelope that far. Yeah. But we have to have in mind, if we're doing any Rabbanan mitzvah, you're also indirectly fulfilling a Torah mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
The key is indirectly. Okay. We're doing about Hanukkah now. Mm-hmm. 23A2. The source for Hanukkah. And, yeah. The source for Hanukkah. Now, the Gemara has an interesting Shaila here, Reb Tzvi. Interesting Shaila. On 23b1, what's more important? 23b1, on the right side, the Gemara now turns. To every season, turn. Music by Bob Dylan, words by King Solomon. Right? He learned here, Reuven Zimmerman.
Yeah,
he was here in 1971. You know that?
Bob Dylan.
But his name was Reuven Zimmerman, alias Bob Dylan, John.
Rav Chaim told me that.
Rav Chaim Fischer.
Yes, he teaches to Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, you see that?
He 3 weeks and tried to make Teshuva. Or what happened? Chaim Fischer did what to Bob Dylan?
He was teaching Bob Dylan here.
And what happened?
His name was Reuven Zimmerman.
Yeah, you know what happened?
And he took off. Okay. He'll come back.
He started to become religious?
He'll come back.
He tried.
Okay, so anyway, 23b1. You have it? The Gemara turns.
Is that before or after he sang, everybody must get stoned?
He was talking about...
Masechta Sanhedrin. There's a fairy called, Kolon is Kolon. One of the chapters... One of the chapters in Sanhedrin is called, everybody must get stoned. I'm not making this up. One of the chapters in Sanhedrin is called, Kolon is Kolon. You think I'm joking? Everybody must get stoned. He learned that chapter in Sanhedrin. Call on the skull in. Everyone who is stoned has to first be pushed off a two-platform story. Platform. So the practice begins. All who are stoned. So he said everybody got stoned.
He was talking about.
All who are stoned have to be pushed off.
He wasn't talking about getting hard.
Right.
So the next time I'm playing with that, I'll just tell my wife, I'm studying Talmud.
That's not Talmud. Everybody gets stoned. Tractates on heaven. Call on the skull in. Look it up.
So what
all those that are stoned first are pushed off.
He said everybody must get stoned. He's talking about.
Everybody must get.
No, he wasn't.
So anyway, let's move on. Anyway, not come. No.
The words are getting picked up.
23b1. The Gemara now turns to a more challenging set of alternatives. Boy Rava, Ner Chanukah B'Kiddush Hayom. You hear? You ain't got enough money to buy both. Either have enough money either to buy Chanukah light or wine for Kiddush. What's more important? Yira Kasha? We don't know yet. Kiddush Hayom, Adiv Ditode. Do I say what? Kiddush is more important than wine? Because it's Tadir. What does Tadir mean? It comes every week. Chanukah is not Tadir. It only comes once a year. We have a klal, Moshe. You have two mitzvahs. One is steady and one is not so steady. What takes Kadima?
The more steady.
Why do you put on your talus before your tefillin in the morning?
Elevate.
That's one reason. Another reason is a talus is Tadir. Talus you put on 7 days a week.
Oh, okay.
Tefillin you don't put on 7 days a week. So talis gets kadima. What's tadir comes first. That's a cloud, usually. There's exceptions. So here the Gemara says, wait a minute, Kiddush is every week. Chinukah is only once a year. So therefore, I should spend the money on Kiddush wine. Oy Dilma, the English word dilemma.
It's the Kiddush of the Yom, not the...
Kiddush Hayom. Kiddush Hayom means Friday night.
It means Friday night?
It means Friday night Kiddush. Oh. It means wine. It means wine for the Friday night Kiddush. That's what it means. And also for the Shabbos day. So maybe that's more important. Remember, the wine is only the Rabbanon. Minatari, just say the words. So the wine is the Rabbanon and Chinukah is the Rabbanon. Which Rabbanon is more important? Mm-hmm. Do I say that the Kiddush of the wine, because that's Tadir.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinukah is only once a year. Mm-hmm. Clash of the Titans, Joe. Oy Dilma, Mer Chanukah Adif. Or maybe no, Mer Chanukah is more important. Remember, just saying the words of Kiddush Yoytzim in HaTorah. The wine is only Rabbanon. Or maybe what? Chinukah is more important, even though it only comes once a year. Mm-hmm. Pursuming Nisa may be so strong it pushes away Tadir.
What are you doing?
You have two principles, Harold. You have Tadir versus Pursuming Nisa. Clash of the Titans. Which wins? Oh, you're right, we don't know that yet. Pursuing Nisa. Of publicizing the miracle of Jewish survival. The Gemara says, Bosa the Abaya Hada Pashde, 23b2. After Rabbah asked the question, he figured it out himself. Ner Chaneka Adif, Bishim Parsume Nisa. Wow. Chaneka is so important, it pushes away Tadir. Tadir is a powerful rule. We have two mitzvahs, the one that's more steady comes first. But Parsume Nisa is so strong that it pushes away. Pursuing this is so strong that it overrides what? Tadir. What does Tadir mean?
More frequent.
Steady as you go. More frequent.
Yeah.
And this is the halacha. Ner Chanukah is better. Bishim Parsumei Nisa. It publicized the miracle of Jewish survival against all odds. Look at note number 15. You with me, Moshe?
Why do we somehow put on spilling?
What, we're going to get that in 1 minute. That is, one first purchases oil for the Chanukah light. Any remaining money is spent on Kiddush wine. If you ain't got, too bad. Because the Torah law of Kiddush is only to say the words.
So if you don't have Kiddush wine,
you make a mitzi.
So
on the lechem.
What does that mean? You include that in the Kiddush?
What? You make a mitzi.
Well, normally we do Kiddush, then we go...
So if you don't have wine, before you make Kiddush, you wash.
And then...
Make Altilas Yadayim. Read the Kiddush from the part you get to Geffen, you say Motzi. You wash first. Strange, no? You wash, you make Alfil Shadayim, then you read the paragraph of the Kiddush, like regular.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the Bracha Barfi Geffen, you don't say that. What do you say?
No.
A Motzi? And you don't do nothing, you don't eat, and then you continue the next paragraph. Only then do you eat.
What if you don't have lechem?
So just say the words. Without the bracha.
Without
a mitzi, without barbi, just saying the words without the bracha, it's Kiddush for not Torah. If you ain't got bread or wine, just to read the paragraph is the Torah law. So you lose the Rabbanah. But if you spent the money on Chanukah, you didn't lose. The Chachamim say that Chanukah overrides the Rabbanah on Kiddush wine. Because Parsumi Nisa is so strong that it pushes away Tadir. Parsumei Nisa, the miracle of Jewish survival, Joel Siegel, overrides and overrules Tadir.
So it only comes to Hanukkah, though?
What?
It's the only place where this is happens is at Hanukkah?
You have it by Arba Koisos, too. That's because Arba Koisos is also Parsumei Nisa. Arba Koisos also is Parsumei Nisa. The miracle of Jewish survival. That overrules Tadir. Normally Tadir takes precedent. That's why you put your talus on before what? Tefillin. So David asked the question, Taka, why don't you put on Tefillin on Shabbos, right? You don't put on Shabbos and Yom Tov at the same din when it comes to Tefillin. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov, David, are called an ois. Ois.
What's an ois?
Oat.
Sign.
Svardi, oat.
Oat.
It means intimate lovey-dovey sign. The word oath means intimate, lovey-dovey sign. That's what it means. There are three mitzvahs in the Torah that are called oath. Out of the 613, there are three that are called lovey-dovey signs. One is what? Brit Milah. One is Shabbat. Shabbos and Yom Tov is the same category. And the third is what? Tefillin. Tefillin.
Why not mezuzah?
Of course not. It doesn't say by mezuzah. It only says by those three again. It says by Shabbat ot, says by Brit Mila ot, and it says by Tefillin ot. Mm-hmm. Only those three mitzvahs. In Jewish law, it takes two to tango. So during Wednesday, the two witnesses that testify, we have a special relationship with Hashem. What's the two witnesses on Wednesday? Your Brit Mila and your Tefillin, right?
But is
what's your two witnesses? Today's Wednesday, no? What are the two witnesses that we have a special relationship with Hashem?
Oh.
It's the Brit Mila and the Tefillin. Because Ot, Ot. Shabbos and Yom Tov is itself called what?
It's
Ot. Ot. So Tefillin becomes superfluous. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Can't have three Ots?
You don't need it. It's not necessary. Since Shabbos itself is an oath, and in Jewish law you need two to establish facts on the ground, the third one becomes, what's the word, superfluous? Yeah. What's superfluous mean?
Not necessary.
Not necessary, yeah.
So therefore, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, tefillin are not necessary. Yeah. If they're not necessary, then you're not allowed to wear them, they become baltosiv. Anyone who puts on tefillin on Shabbos is over baltosiv. You're not allowed to add on to the Torah. Because the Torah says you need two to establish an intimate relationship, two witnesses, two facts on the ground. So if you're going to have three, that's like baltosiv. You're adding on to the Torah. David, you're adding on to the Torah.
Well, couldn't you say that with Chol HaMoed?
That's why you can't have Chol HaMoed either. That's
but,
the Beis Yosef. That's a good point. The Beis Yosef Paskins, you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed for the same reason you can't put on tefillin on Shabbos. There are more argues, okay? But in Israel, we accept the Beis Yosef's opinion that you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed because it's Baal Tosef. Chol HaMoed is just like Yom Tov when it comes to tefillin. Halamite is also called an oat. Intimate lovey-dovey sign. So the tefillin becomes superfluous on Halamite as well. The Ramah argues. But in Eretz Yisrael, the halach has been following the Beis Yosef.
Not
to even Ashkenazim, who usually follow the Ramah, usually, will not follow. Which is the Sephardi posek.
Yeah.
And it's strange that in Eretz Yisrael, even the Ashkenazim will not follow the Ramah, in this case, and they will not put on tefillin on
Chol HaMoed.
Even though the Ramah says you should put on tefillin. He says that Chol HaMoed is not like Yom Tov.
Yeah.
He says Chol HaMoed is like a regular Wednesday.
So if you want to, can you do it?
What? Chol HaMoed, what?
So if you want to, can you do it?
Already the name of it.
Well, you can lean on the Ramah. Lean on me, Joe. Ramah is a superstar, too.
Most sitters say if you're in a shul where they do.
Most is going to do. That's a klal. You're not a new factionalism. If you're davening with a shul that doesn't put on tefillin, you're not supposed to put on tefillin, or vice versa. You're not allowed to go against the minyan. Al tifrosh min hatzibur. The Mishnah says, al tifrosh min hatzibur. You're not allowed to separate yourself from the tzibur that you're davening. So if they're not putting on tefillin in that shul, you're not allowed to put on tefillin. You can go home and put it on. You want to follow the Ramah, but not in public. You have to go with the flow.
Well, there's people that I've seen do that.
Well, it's not right.
They go into
a side room, but not in the main room. But the Mishnah says, "Al tifrosh min hatzibur." Do not separate yourself from the congregation.
They're not with the tzibur.
What?
If they're in a side room, they're not.
Okay, so that's right. So you go to a side room where no one sees you. Fine.
But then, can you be part of the minyan?
Well, if you're not in the same room, I can be part of the minyan.
I know.
You got to be in the same room.
What's the purpose of going then?
So don't put them on. Go home and put them on. Yep. Before you call the shul, you put them on. Or go to a minion that you won't find a minion in Israel that puts them on.
Put them on afterwards.
No, put them on afterwards. They won't find a minion in Israel.
Something.
That Ashkenazim accepted the Beis Yosef's ruling in Israel against the Ramah. And they do not put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In Chutz La'aretz, they follow the Ramah, and they do put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
Some
Ashkenazim, much more than here.
Why is it?
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. We never did.
I don't know.
There's a liquid they put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
Chol HaMoed is Sukkot. I don't know. If they follow the Ramah, they would. The Ramah says you should. Okay? The Ramah says you should.
Maybe you should just put on the head tefillin.
No, you can't.
That would be a good compromise.
It's like being a little bit pregnant. No, you can't be a little bit pregnant, right, Joe? No. Okay, so we halten over here. Listen to this amazing Gemara. Amro, you with me or against me on this?
Okay,
cool. So Ner Chanukah 23b2. 23b2, the Gemara relates on the left side, third paragraph. Amar Rav Huna. Harogel b'ner havayin lehed b'arlen tamid achamim. One who is strict about lighting Shabbos and Hanukkah candles will have sons that are Torah scholars. You hear this?
Mm-hmm.
If you are strict and midakteg to make sure to light the Shabbos and Hanukkah candles on time, you'll have sons who are Torah scholars.
What's that mean? On time? And
on time, you know, oil, mahudar, you know.
Don't use
oil. Oil for Hanukkah. Shabbos, you don't have to use oil. Shabbos, you can use a regular candle. Look at note 16. Why is that? What's the connection of Yom? Just because you light Hanukkah and Shabbos candles punctually. Why will you have sons of Torah scholars? Why? Put note 16, Joe. It says in Mishle, Kiner mitzvah the Torah or. Solomon says, for the mitzvah is a lamp and the Torah is a light. By observing the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos and Hanukkah lich, one brings the light of Torah into the world. Ooh. By observing the mitzvah of lighting the lamp of Shabbos and Hanukkah, the light of Hanukkah and Shabbos, that's the light. We are the light. That's the light of Torah into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So why is that the name?
What?
Doesn't seem like such a
fidush.
All you're doing is lighting candles on.
So, Harold, I hope you read my column last week in the Torah Tidbits. I asked this question.
Yeah.
Can you look up a back issue?
Okay.
It's only last week.
Yeah.
And I asked this question. What's the connection?
What's the question?
The question is, just because you light candles, how come you'll have Torah scholars?
Mm-hmm.
So get a back issue.
All right.
I think last week. It's still available on the stands.
Probably in my
house. Or you go to rabbishprecher.com. Rabbishprecher.com. And I asked this question. I don't want to repeat myself. You got to look it up.
We want live.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on over here. Hazor b'mitzvah tzitzis, Zoycha tells me, one who's careful in wearing tzitzis all the time will have a beautiful garment. You hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get to that, Harogel b'ner Chanukah. What is Harogel? The word regular, Joe. The word, if someone is regular to light Hanukkah and Shabbos candles timely, punctually, we'll have Torah scholar sons. What's the word rugil? Rugil from the English word regular. It comes from the Hebrew rugil, you know that. Look at footnote 18. You with me, Moshe? You have it? Footnote 18. Marsha notes, with the mitzvah of kindling, Rav Huna states one who's habitual. But the mitzvah of mezuzah, he says one who is careful. How come he changes the language? By Hanukkah it says harugil. By tzitzit it says hazoyir. What does zoyir mean?
Sure.
Careful. Rogel means regular. Why does the Gemara change the language?
Language.
From careful to regular.
Mm-hmm.
You see footnote 18, Joe?
Yeah.
How regular?
Yeah.
You don't do this.
What?
I mean, you don't do this regularly, only when you have a house.
What do you mean? Every minute you have a mezuzah on your door, it's macha mitzvah. You have to mitzvah tzichas kavana. How many minutes are there in the day? I'm not joking. 19,000. Every minute you're contradicting, you're getting a mitzvah. Look how much God loves us. When you look at the mezuzah and you concentrate, you're doing a mitzvah every minute. We know that, Joe. Every minute you have a mitzvah. Yeah. So how come it says Zoyir? So he asked the Kasha, note 18 over here.
Mm-hmm.
What's why? Regular as opposed to Zoyir. The Marsha explains that Huna speaks of a Jewish male who personally performs the mitzvah of mezuzah, tzitzis, and kiddush. Therefore, he's especially careful. However, lighting the Shabbos lights is normally a woman's responsibility. And so the husband's role is limited to what? Habituating his wife to perform the mitzvah.
Yeah.
You stand the teretz? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why he changes from Zoya to Ragil? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, back in the Azoya b'tzitzis, if you're careful to wear tzitzis, Joe, you can have a beautiful garment. Hazoya b'kiddush hayom.
What does that mean? You're going to have a beautiful garment.
You'll have a beautiful. Buy a nice suit. You'll be zoyche to buy a nice fancy double-breasted suit.
Rabbi,
from Barney's. Remember Barney's?
Rabbi.
Remember Barney's? Huh? You're still in business? York. Not from New York.
Rabbi, I say to you, Ragil means because you're doing it every week.
Ragil means regular.
You're doing it every Hanukkah. Mezuzah, you're only doing when you have to buy a house. You know?
But every minute that you have a mezuzah on the door, you're kiyum a mitzvah. You have a kiyum a mitzvah. Every minute the mezuzah is on the door, there's a key. Look in the Rambam, Hilchos Mezuzah. But yeah, you didn't know that?
But you
got me. It's a key. Every minute you have a mezuzah on your door, you're doing a key a mitzvah. Every minute you're wearing tzitzis, you're doing a key a mitzvah. You don't know that, Harold. Every minute you're wearing tzitzis, you're doing a key a mitzvah.
Every time you take a step here.
You take a step in Israel, lacha mitzvah, right? You have to be aware of that. You have to be aware.
Well, I wonder what you have to be careful about.
Be punctual, punctual. So then you'll have the good children, Tamid HaChachamim, right?
So you did it at a good time.
Punctually, right?
It's connected to the house. I mean, the idea of having a beautiful restaurant.
It wasn't say it, if you want. If you're careful with Kiddush, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Goes on. Zorei b'Kiddush hayom zochem ala gar b'yayin. See that?
No, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Many wine bottles.
The Gemara tells a story that it really works, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Gemara illustrates. You have that motion. The Gemara illustrates a story over here. Rav Huna haba rogel, the haba chalif betonei apischa. Rav Huna would regularly pass the doorway of Rav Ovin Nagra, Rav Ovin the carpenter. Chazer the haba rogel b'shragetuva. Rav Huna saw that Rav Ovin lit many lights, both on Friday night and during Hanukkah. What do you mean he lit many lights? What do you mean many lights?
Maybe more than one menorah.
What?
There are families that have for each member a menorah. So
Min Adin, one menorah for everybody.
Yeah.
But in Mufcha Mitzvah and Amufchar, every family member lights their own.
Yeah.
So he saw that him and his whole family all had their own menorah. Right? Even though Min Adin, it's enough one menorah per family. So what does Rabbi say? Oh, Omar, he said, Trey Gavra, Rabbi Nafkova. Two great men will come out from here.
What a blessing.
The two mitzvahs of Hanukkah and Friday night candles.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? Who came? The two great rabbis. Who came? Mofek Minai, Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Rav Chia Bar Ovin. Wow. Ooh. Another story, Joe, on top of the page, 23b2 on the right side, another illustration. Rav Chizda Havarogel, Havachalev Vitona Pisco. Rav Chizda would pass the doorway, the Bey Nosha, the Rab, Rav Shizi's father's house.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Yeah. Havachalev the Rogel, he saw, Shrugetuva, he saw that Rav Shizi's parents were lighting many candles.
Hmm?
Chanukah. Even though Yoytza Neri Shabesa, you know Min Adin, Yoytza one candle a night. Min Adin, on the fifth night, how many candles you have to light?
One.
On the seventh night, Min Adin, how many candles you have to light?
One.
Min Adin, we do mitzvah bin Amufchar. We light every night another, but the din is one night per family, per night, one. Mitzvah in Amufkar is to light every night another and every family another. That's Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. So this rabbi was doing that. Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Omer Gavra Rabba. Ooh, a great tzaddik will come out of here. And who was born? Nothing and I about Shizvi. This great tzaddik was Shizvi. See, the formula works, Joe.
Probably why there's so many boys in yeshiva now.
Yeah.
All the, you know, this, everybody's following this now.
Yeah.
When you light, you light the current night first. Is that right? Like on the fourth night.
And you go back. The fourth night you light the fourth first, and you go backwards.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Okay.
4, 3, 2, 1. On 8, 7, 6, 9. The current first, and then you go backwards. The current first, then you go backwards. Right. After you make all brachas. First you make
you
the ruchus, and then you light.
Oivilasiyosan.
The first night you make shechiyonu. The other nights you only make two.
Mm-hmm.
And only when you finish making the ruchus, only then do you light. Because the berchat hamitzah has to be oivilasiyosan. First you have to say the bruch, and then light right away, without a hefzik.
You know, they usually have this other one then. What's it called?
Shamash.
Shamash doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. I know, but do you light that first?
Well, if you need the shamus to light the others. You don't need a shamus.
You
use a lighter. So you don't need a shamus even. You don't need a shamus. If you have a gas lighter, you don't need a shamus. You know, you don't need a shamus.
So you don't, we always just lit the gas, I mean the shamus too.
But you don't need a shamus, you know.
So you
if you have a shamus, it has to be higher. It can't be on the same level.
Right. Should you light it?
No, the shamus doesn't count. You only the Shabbos. Your Shabbos is there to light the others.
So you could light it. You could light the Shabbos.
Of course you light it, but
well, maybe you want to have to wear Rabbi because you're.
Yeah, you could, but you don't have to.
It's the beauty of it.
You hold the candle, the Shabbos in your hand. You hold the candle in your hand, and you make the brachas, and then you light the menorah.
So you light the Shabbos before you say the
brachas. Of course, the Shabbos doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. So you light that first.
You light the Shabbos first. That doesn't count. Mm-hmm. You light the Shabbos first, then you make the bracha. And then you light the candles, because the Shabbos doesn't count.
Rabbi, maybe you'd want to light the Shabbos anyway, because you're not allowed to make any use of the candles.
Okay. Yeah. If you have electric bulb, you don't need a Shabbos.
Yeah, but what if you accidentally are using the menorah for some light, then you could say, well, you're not.
Right.
You're just the Shabbos.
Right. So you light the Shabbos, hold it in your hand, and then you make the bracha, because the Shabbos doesn't count. And then you light the others. Because you have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Otherwise, it's a bracha lavatala. And lighting the Shabbos is not the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. So you light the Shabbos, and then you make the bracha. And right after you make the brachas, then you light. Because if you light first, you can't make the bracha. It's a bracha lavatala.
Except when you wash your hands. With
what?
When you wash your hands in the morning, you do the opposite.
What? What do you do?
Oh, that's
the bracha after you.
Yeah, they have no choice because your hands are dirty. The Gemara speaks about that. Because your hands are tummy, you have no choice. Yeah, that's the exception to the rule. Because your hands are tummy. Phil, you're dying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because you ain't choice there, because your hands are tummy. You can't,
if
no choice.
Tummy, then what?
Then therefore you wash first, and then you make the bracha. The ger makes the bracha when he's finished toiveling. Why? Because before that he couldn't make the bracha, because he's not Jewish. So that's when you have no choice. But normally, if you have a choice, the bracha has to precede. Mm-hmm. The what?
The mitzvah.
Therefore, ladies make a bracha before they dunk. Yeah. Ladies make a bracha before they dunk, but a ger can't make a bracha before he dunks. Why can't he? Okay. He ain't Jewish. How can he make a bracha? It's Ivano. It's Ivano. So only after he dunks he makes. Mm-hmm. That's because he's an obreira, right? Mm-hmm. The word tells us a nice story here about Rav Yosef. You see 23b2 on the right side. You have it? Another episode.
Yeah, here we are.
Teaches the Bitsi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's wife, she would put off lighting the Shabbos candles right before dark.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't take an early Shabbos. You hear this? She wouldn't take an early Shabbos. Mm-hmm. She would put off lighting candles right before dark on Friday night. What? Look at note 28. You have it, Rabbi Yaakov? Can you read that slowly?
28.
Rabbi Yosef.
Yosef's wife certainly kindled the Shabbos candles before the time.
Malachi was forbidden. Otherwise, Mechal Shabbos.
which is Shkia.
Right. She had to do before that.
Okay. And she even added on to her Shabbos reserves by kindling a little early.
Because twice is Shabbos. You have to add on to the Shabbos.
Right. Nevertheless, she waited until close to the end of the time for kindling because she reasoned that only then would it be apparent that the kindling was performed in honor of Shabbos. Citing the early arrival of the pillar of fire as a proof, Rav Yosef informed his wife that even if she moved up the time of her kindling, her additional Shabbos observance would be apparent.
Let's go back to the Gemara now. See what happened over here. So she waited till right before this man to light. Right? Omar Rav Yosef said to her, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Torah says, Lo yomish amid onon yom amid esh laila. The Torah says, God did not remove the pillar of cloud by day, and he didn't remove the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So look at note 29. This verse appears unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Since the previous verse says, Hashem went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and lead them on the way, and by night in a pillar of cloud to give them light,
mm-hmm.
so they could travel by day and night.
Yeah.
So it seems to be an extra verse. Why was it written?
Yeah.
We already know that God marched by them in a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. Why repeat it twice? So back in the text now. Melamed. Sha'amid onon mashlim lamudesh. This teaches that the pillar of cloud during the day overlapped, completed the pillar of fire. Va'amudesh mashlim lamud onon, and the pillar of fire and overlapped the pillar of cloud during the day. Look at note 31. That is, the illuminating pillar of fire appeared before the end of the day, before God removed the pillar of cloud. You hear this? So Rav Yosef told his wife that what? Sweetheart, you're not doing right. You should light the Shabbos candles while it is still day. Make an early Shabbos. I'm hungry. Make an early Shabbos. What, Joe? So I'm like, Rav Yosef's words in mind, she taught to advance the kindling to a much earlier part of the day. So she did it too early. Joe, you can't win for losing here.
Last quarter of the day,
huh? Amalei Ahus Saba, a certain older said to her, who's Ahus Saba? Some say it's Elijah. Ooh.
Grandfather.
Grandfather Elijah said to her, Tonene Bovatra Yagdim Zoyocha, with regard to lighting, I'm going to teach you something, Mrs. Rabbi Yosef. Mm-hmm. One may light whenever he likes, Friday night, provided that he does not significantly advance the kindling time, not too early.
Yeah.
Look at note 33.
Yeah.
He or she does not kindle much before the time one is obligated to begin the Erev Shabbos. How much time? Klag Mincha, right? But not too early.
Quarter of the day.
Not too early.
What's the ideal time to light?
Your ideal time, check your calendar, 40 minutes before Ashkia. That's a one time.
Why is
your ideal time to light is when we light 40 minutes before Ashkia in Jerusalem. That's the minna. And in other places, 20 minutes.
Why?
The ideal time is in Jerusalem, 40 minutes before Ashkia. Like the calendar says,
Whatever Shabbos candle light.
And in the rest of the country, it's 20 minutes before.
Why is there a difference?
But North Shabbos, it's 18 minutes before?
20 minutes before. You light 20 minutes before.
Shabbos, not for Shabbos.
You light the candles 20 minutes before Shkia. We light 40 minutes before Shkia.
Why?
The minute you shine, the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim. The Vilna Gaon's Talmidim established in Jerusalem. You light 40 minutes before Shkia.
But nobody knows what.
But the rest of the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim. Kabbalistically, but the rest of the world lights 20 minutes before, and that's ideal time.
Hanukkah and Shabbos.
No, I'm not talking about Hanukkah. Don't mix me up. I'm not talking about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah you do
we're just
there.
Talking about Shabbos. Not talking about Hanukkah.
Okay, but you're saying, didn't you say the ideal time to light Hanukkah is the same
we didn't
time?
Talk about Hanukkah. We didn't talk at all what time. No, nothing to do. Hanukkah is, there's two shittas. One says sunset, the other says Pesach HaChovim. Again, here you have what? Minag Yerushalayim is when sunset to light Chinookah candles. Not Shabbos, Chalila. Are you allowed to light Shabbos for the sunset? Chalila, Mechal Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
If you see your wife lighting candles when the sun is setting, stop! Stop! Chalila, Chilul Shabbos. But Hanukkah candles, Minag Yerushalayim is to light it at sunset.
Yeah.
Minag Yerushalayim, Talmid Agra. The rest of the world lighted Pesach HaChovim. So in Yerushalayim, which is later.
Yeah, later.
So Minag Yerushalayim is to light sunset. The rest of the world, if you're not going to be in Yerushalayim, then you light Pesach HaChovim. Okay?
So you light at sunset, then you got 20 minutes to get to shul for
also, you have a problem. You got a light Friday talking.
No, just during the
wait,
week.
Why? Friday, you got to light the Chinookah candles first.
Well, Friday.
Because otherwise, it's Shabbos already.
Yeah.
But you have to have enough oil in there to burn into the
20
into
minutes
the night.
Past,
so use those tea lights.
Yeah.
Or a lot of oil. Otherwise, it's a blessing in vain. Because you're lighting very early. You have to light before the Shabbos candles. You have to have enough oil in there to make sure that it burns into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Either use tea lights or use enough oil. Shouldn't be a blessing in vain, yes?
Now, during the week, let's say, if I light, wait a minute, at 20 minutes before sunset?
No, mix me up.
I'm getting confused.
Minig Yerushalayim is to light the Hanukkah candles at sunset, at Shkia. Not 20 minutes before, not a minute before. Mamish at Shkia, which is Shabbos already. We're talking on Wednesday. You can't light the candles at Shkia on Friday night.
No,
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday, Minig Yerushalayim is to light the candles at Shkia.
Which is why
the rest of the world lights at Pesach HaChovim, which is later.
So they have mincha a little early.
Have mincha a little early, and then they light Shabbos candles. And
not Shabbos candles.
So you go home and light your
Hanukkah candles.
And come back from Ira.
And come back from Ira. Yeah.
That's what they do. They
daven mincha early.
Don't do it right at Shkia.
Right.
Usually pretty close to Shkia.
So if you want to follow, but there's many people in Jerusalem that don't follow Minig Yerushalayim. So they will light their Hanukkah candles after Ma'ariv. It's also fine. Seisa Kachovim.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch says Seisa Kachovim. So a lot of people are not going to be makbid with the Shkia, not going to run home. They're going to daven Ma'ariv.
Yeah.
And then they'll go home and light the Hanukkah candles because it's Hesek HaChavim. But if you're Vilna Gaon's Talmud, you'll daven Mincha early, and you'll run home and light and come back for Meirah.
You do Mincha Gedola.
Right, you do Mincha Gedola. Right?
Mm-hmm.
At the Kotel, the chief rabbi every night lights a Shkia. At the Kotel,
I was going to ask. Yeah,
every night, exactly at Shkia. And right after the lighting, what do? They daven Meirah. Every night at the Kotel, the chief rabbi lights at Shkia.
At Shkia,
and then they sing. After lighting, they sing. And then they daven Meirah.
That'll be every night.
Every night during Hanukkah. Very nice. Very moving.
So it'll be around a quarter, around 4:45.
It'll be around 4:40.
4:40 now. Today.
It'll be about 4:40. They light the candle. Chief Rabbi lights the candle. You're not yoitzer in your house with that.
No, you know,
you have to go home. And light again. Because ne'er ishu, you're not yoitzer with the Kotel's lighting, Joe Siegel. That's the ne'er ishu beito. Ne'er ishu beito. What?
No, so but normally they do, a lot of places, not every place, it's safe to call being here. So, and even at the Kotel, so they do it a little earlier around congregation.
Yeah. No, they're going to light, but Kotel, they write candles first. And then they daven Meirah.
Actually, there's some places that
do I'd go to a shul where they daven Meirah at Shkia. But then you have to say Shema again later.
Yeah, to say Shema again.
Yeah. Now, in that case, do you say the brachot on the Shema early?
You daven Meirah normally. Then you come
with
home. You daven Meirah with all the brachos early. Then when you get home and say it's coming, just repeat the Shema.
Just the Shema.
Yeah. You don't repeat the Berachot Shema. No. You just repeat the Shema, all three paragraphs, after Tzeisek Kachavim.
It would seem that, it just seems logical that you would wait and say the brachot after Tzeisek Kachavim, but.
Yeah.
But that's not the practice.
No.
Okay.
Certain shuls do, you know.
By video.
Now, the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara goes on, Joe. On 23b3, you with me or again me, Joe? The Gemara speaks of another spiritual attainment. You see that 23b3? The Gemara speaks about Omar Rava. Derachim Rabbanan, anyone who loves Torah, rabbis. Havalei Benin Rabbanan, his sons will be Torah sages.
Ooh.
Why is that, Joe? Footnote 35, God rewards Mida Keneged Mida.
Wow.
When one loves Torah sages, as if they were his own sons, he will have sons that are Torah sages. The Mokir Rabbanan, one who honors Torah sages. Havalei, he'll have son-in-laws who are Torah sages. You see that? Wow. The Dochim Rabbanan, right? One who has respect and awe for Torah rabbis, he'll himself become a Torah scholar. Wow. But if he's not capable of becoming a Torah scholar, then what? His words will be heeded like those of a Torah scholar. So Mida Keneged Mida, right? Mida Keneged Mida. What goes around comes around, right? Joe. What goes around comes around. Okay. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Yeah. What goes around comes around. What? Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at the parasha a little bit.
Yeah.
The parasha that we need very much. The parasha. We'll tie in the parasha with Hanukkah a little bit. Okay. I'll miss you next week. We come here anyway. Yeshiva's open. Rabbi Fesher will give the shiur, I hope. Rabbi Chaim Fesher, he's very good.
Chaim Fesher.
Matzah Shabbos. Be back January 1st. Rabbi Chaim Fesher is very good. Okay. The parasha is by Yeshev.
Upside down.
I'm here tomorrow, Matzah Shem.
All the words fall out when you do that.
Vayeshev. Parasha is by Yeshev. Oh, wow.
You're finished with this?
Yes, Joe. Herz erkennen sich, Yassel. Alright? Well, see your reason.
Faithful.
Yeah. Yeshev Yaakov. Yeshev Yaakov. So the Melech HaMashiach comes out from this strange incident. Page 119, Joe, very strange. Yehuda seduced, so he thinks she's a harlot. And page 119.
This is a soap opera.
It's amazing over here. Yehuda, page 119. The secret of Yibum is contained in this parashat. Ramban says the secret of Yibum is that the dead brother cannot find peace in Olam Haba knowing he didn't leave a child. Mm-hmm. So the only way he can come back and try again is if his brother marries his widow. And the child that they conceive is the dead brother recycled. The Ramban says the secret of Yibum is reincarnation. And he says before the Torah was given, any family member can practice Yibum, bringing back the dead soul, recycle him. Mm-hmm. But after the Torah was given, it was restricted only to a brother. Only to a brother.
But you come back anyway. You come back under the lines. Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. They can only come back.
Everybody comes back.
Not everybody comes back. Not everybody.
Do you know?
I don't know. But this is what the Ramban says. The secret of...
You come back.
I don't know. He says the secret is reincarnation.
Gilgal's
reincarnation, yeah. But the only way the dead brother can come back, says the Ramban, and Rabbeinu Bachya speaks about this, and Rikanti, is if his brother lives with the widow, and the conceived child is actually what? Is the dead brother come back? And he didn't want this. The Ayer Ba'onan, it says over here...
I thought everybody came back. Yeah, don't they have Gilgal
page one
different lives and until now this is our last spin of the wheel.
Well, you Yehuda, yeah,
maybe like
Zara,
yeah,
yeah,
maybe you don't come back
there. So before the Torah was given, any family member can practice Yibum, says Ramban. Afterwards is only restricted to a brother. So therefore, what Yehuda did, the Rambam asked the question, how could Yehuda go to a harlot? Does a nice Jewish boy do that? So he says, he wasn't a Jewish boy. Yehuda was a Noahite. We forget that. The brothers didn't have a din like a Yehudi. Keep the seven, go to heaven. Mm-hmm. So a Noahite, he can go to a harlot if she ain't married. That's what he said. The Rambam Hilchos Isha says that. Don't get excited. Yehuda was not Jewish. He's a Noahite. Torah wasn't given yet. After Torah was given, it became prohibited for Yidden to go to a harlot. But for a guy, it's not a problem. So therefore, Yehuda didn't have a problem. And yet the Melech HaMashiach comes out from this strange union, right? Peretz and Zorach, nukhon. So why couldn't the Melech HaMashiach come from a more worthy Yichus? Why from such a low Yichus? You see on both sides, David HaMelech is a product of incest on both sides. Because to marry a father-in-law in Jewish law, even when the son has died, is incest. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Torah wasn't given yet, saved by the bell. But still, David HaMelech was a product of incest on both sides. Think of it. Think of it. His father going back, Boaz, the grandfather going back as Peretz. Peretz is a offspring of Yehuda and Tamar. Mm-hmm. That's a father-in-law having relations with his daughter-in-law. Even after the son dies, that's Chiyuv Karet. That's Gilead Ayot. The child is an M. Can I say the word, Mom? Pretty amazing. Okay, saved by the bell. The Torah wasn't given yet. So from his father's side, David comes from incest. Mm-hmm. Peretz, Yehud and Tamar. And his mother's side...
Yeah.
Ruth. Boaz comes from Peretz. Boaz married Ruth. Who does Ruth come from? Moab. Also incest. Also, geknipten, gebinden. What kind of yichus is that, Joe? Wasn't that incest in Jewish law to have relations with your daughter, to marry your daughter-in-law, even after the son dies? It's incest. For Jews. Yehuda wasn't Jewish.
Right.
So we forget that.
So it wasn't incest.
Saved by the bell. Saved by the bell, but still, you know.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Saved by the bell, right?
Makes it tough for a Shidduch. Makes it tough for a Shidduch, though, Rabbi.
All right. The Torah wasn't given yet. So that's from his father's side. And David's mother, Yehuda, married Boaz. From Peretz, married Ruth. Mm-hmm. And Ruth is also a product of incest. Ruth comes from Moab. What does the word Moab mean? From father. Yeah. Ruth's great-great-grandfather, Moab, comes from Lot and his daughter. They gave birth to a son, Moab. That means the Melech HaMashiach comes from incest on both sides of the family. What kind of yichus is that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That the Melech HaMashiach, the whole world is waiting for him, and he has such, what's the word, skeletons in the closet? Is that the right word, Jules?
Mm-hmm. Questionable lineage.
Skeletons in the closet. The Gemara in Yevamos asked this question.
He will not find the sheet of the Mashiach.
The Gemara asked this question. The Gemara says...
Because he's coming. He's coming no matter what.
So why does he have to have such an incestuous background? So the Gemara says as follows.
Well, that was plan B, right?
What?
That was plan B.
It looks like it was plan... Was it plan B? Maybe it was plan A.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't God find a better Shidduch for the Mashiach? Joe, a Bais Yaakov girl. I don't know. You had to pick a wild Moabite go-go dancer. Who was Ruth before she converted? Who was Ruth?
She was a princess.
Before she converted, she was from Moab. It was worse than Las Vegas.
Moab
is worse than Las Vegas. What do you think Moab was?
All the women met the men naked.
Moab was the symbol of immorality. Moab. So that's what, she's the grandmother of the Melech HaMashiach? Huh? God tells Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not yours. Don't even try to figure it out. Don't even try to figure it out. But the Gemara does try to figure it out. The Gemara tries to figure it out in Tractate Yuma. And the Gemara says that David HaMelech, he is going to be the savior of all mankind.
Yeah.
Not we make a mistake. You look in Isaiah, a basi basi tefila ucholam. Mashiach is not going to come just to save the Yidden. He's going to come to save all mankind. All mankind means what? Not just the tzaddikim.
All the nation.
The lowlifes too.
So
the lowlifes. So how could he save all mankind if he can't identify with them? So he has to come from such low, humble beginnings in order to identify even with the dregs of society. Otherwise, how could he save them?
At that time, will there still be Jews?
When? When Mashiach comes?
Yeah.
What will be Jews? Will there still be Jews?
But after everybody's saved. You say everybody's going to get saved.
Everybody gets saved.
No. But there'll still be a difference.
The seven go to heaven.
So there'll be
no Jews. Keep the seven, and we have to keep the 613. Right.
Mashiach will convert
the whole world, not to Judaism. He'll convert the world to Noahidism. That's the oldest religion of mankind, older than Judaism. Who practiced? Abraham didn't practice Judaism, practiced Noahidism plus. Noahidism plus Brit Milah. But the Goyim won't have to do that. But just keep the seven and go to heaven.
But Rabbi, the Rambam said that in the time of Mashiach,
yeah.
the people want to discover the Emet.
What's the Emet? For a Goy, the Emet is a Noahide religion. For Goyim, Emet is the Noahide religion. That's Emet for them.
Mm-hmm.
For us, the Emet is Tayag. Mm-hmm. Different strokes for different folks.
But in time of Shiach, we're going to be in style, so they're all going to convert.
But no, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin, we will not be Mekabel Gerim. When Shiach comes, we will not be Mekabel Gerim. You got to get in before it's too late. When Shiach comes, the door will be slammed.
Like
you can be a righteous Gentile, but you won't be able to become a Jew. When Mashiach comes. Right. So V'halpin, so that's one explanation. Another explanation is, the Gemara says that why did Shaul HaMelech fail and David was successful? You're not going to believe this, Avram.
Mm-hmm.
Gemara in Yuma.
Shaul
HaMelech, why did he fail?
To do what?
He failed!
Yeah, for sure.
He was thrown out of the kingship, wasn't he? Took away.
Oh, yeah.
And David was successful despite his sin.
Yeah.
Says the Gemara. You listen to this? Shaul HaMelech had no skeletons in the closet. For a leader of Klal Yisrael to be successful, you have to have skeletons in the closet. Moshe Rabbeinu, his mother, his father married his aunt. Mm-hmm. That's incest in Jewish law.
Mm-hmm.
Amro married his doda Yocheved.
Yeah.
To marry an aunt in Jewish law is incest.
Yeah.
The child was an M. Saved by the bell. Torah wasn't given yet.
Right.
Wasn't saved by the bell. Torah wasn't given yet.
Okay.
But to marry a doda is chayiv koret. It's gili arayot. The child is a mamzer. It's a good thing that Moshe's parents weren't alive by Kabbalah Satorah. Can you imagine the shame? That Moshe's parents were alive by Kabbalah Satorah. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
so again, the Gemara says that Moshe and David, the two greatest leaders, are successful because they have skeletons in the closet. Shaul HaMelech didn't have no skeletons. This is God's insurance policy. Moshe and David, the two greatest human beings ever going to live. And yet they were the most humble people on the face of the earth. David HaMelech was, he said, I'm a worm. What did David say? I'm a worm. And Moshe said, I'm nothing, less than a worm. How could they say that? Didn't they know who they were? Didn't Moshe know? He's a lawgiver, speaks to God, brings the tablets. Didn't David HaMelech know he's the King Messiah? How could he call himself a worm and mean it? What's the answer? Check your closet. If David wants to get a swelled head, check your closet. Look who you come from, down boy. This is God's insurance policy that his two greatest leaders ever going to live, the Mashiach and Moshe, won't get a swelled head. So God takes out an insurance policy against them. Because they're human, they have egos. How could they be so humble? Check your closet.
But they said one of the things too that kept him balanced was he needed...
Shaul didn't have that balance!
Shaul didn't have... Jews have a tendency to be very humble.
Right.
So what did King David need? Royalty.
He's not humble.
Where did he get that royalty?
Yeah.
The Moabite princess, the kingship. That gave him that chutzpah. That gave him that ability.
Nahon.
It gave him the balance that he wasn't so humble.
Right. Okay. But this is God's insurance policy, because we're dealing with human beings. The Moshe Rabbeinu, Dov Melech are human. They have egos. How could they remain humble? If they don't remain humble, what happens to God's plan? They're supposed to remind the world of the true leader. They're going to take the covenant for themselves. What happens to God's game plan? So to protect his interests, God takes out insurance policies. What are they called? Skeletons in the closet. For David and Moshe Rabbeinu. Anav Ma'od, Moshe wants to become a little bit, what? Huffy? What are we going to say to him? Moshe, check your closet. Your father married your doda. That's incest in Jewish law. Okay, saved by the bell. But imagine if your parents were alive at Kabbalah Satorah. You're the lawgiver, and you come from a product of incest? Down, boy. That'll keep them humble. That'll keep them humble. Good morning, Yuma. Amazing.
But also, it's a Moabite. You can't, they at the time, they said a Moabite can't be Jewish. He wasn't even Jewish, according to some.
No, but that's, the ban is against male Moabites.
But the ban against Boaz people. Brought it up.
No, they forgot the law. The law wasn't made up by Boaz. No, the law was forgotten.
He brought, until then, they were saying male and female can't.
They didn't know the law.
And then when Moaz...
the oral Torah is that the ban is only on male Moabites.
Well, what I'm saying is that makes them humble too, because they're going, he's not Jewish.
Well, he suffered all his life from the stigma.
And then Boaz made that, and he died, and they said, look, he made a wrong decision.
Right.
And it was not till much later,
it
really came that it could be the women could.
Uh-huh.
So there's a whole thing saying...
Well, Shlomo HaMelech also married an Ammonite. He married the princess Nama, the Shlomo married, also was an Ammonitess. The Isser is against Moab, Ammon and Moab, the Schorim, not in the Kevot. The Schorim, not in the Kevot.
I asked Rav Ackerman about the issue that Rashi mentioned. The coffin of Jacob couldn't be carried by the grandchildren of.
Because they're Canaanites.
Canaanites. So he mentioned, he compared the coffin with the ark. They carried the coffin and the ark.
But that's not the point. How could he allow his sons to marry Canaanite women? How could Jacob allow his sons to marry Canaanite women? That was the question.
Yeah, that was the answer, that the ban was lifted. That
okay,
was
the hard to understand.
Why,
no. The ban was lifted.
On that, I couldn't get a better answer than that.
Now, it's amazing. We know it beat down the cops close, right?
Yeah.
Mind closing the door for a couple of minutes? So a little. I'll leave you with this, a real punchline, okay? For the Shabbos Tish. Well, I'll come tomorrow, Blineda. So come here tomorrow. But listen to this word. We have the Mishnah says, Bidan lekaschus. Bidan lekaschus, right? Have a dan lekaschus. You have to judge every human being, not only Jew, favorably, right? So tell me, page 122, Harold. Read this verse and tell me if the rabbis are following their own rules. Page 122. Background. Yosef HaTzadik is trying to be seduced by Mrs. Potiphar. She's trying to be seduced. Mm. She's trying to seduce Mrs. Yosef, right? Page 122. You with me on this? Yeah. So look what it says here. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Harold. Vayi hayom kiyom hazeh. One day, v'yovah habayta. They all went to church. She said she has a headache. She ain't going to church, right? Mm-hmm. So v'yovah habayta. Who came to the house? Lasles malachto.
Yosef
came to do, he was the foreman there.
Ve'ein
ish manche habayis ma'abay. No one was home. Mm-hmm. Chazal say that they all went to church and she said she has a headache.
Mm-hmm.
So who's home?
Her
and Yosef. So Yosef went into the house to do his malachtoi. What does that mean to do his work?
Yeah.
What does it mean to do his work? Moshe, can you read the Rashi? Mm-hmm. Ask me a question. Lasas malachtoi. Left column, three lines from the top. Left column, three lines from the top. Lasas malachtoi. Yeah, page 122. Mm-hmm. Page 122. Can you show him the pages, Rabbi Yaakov? He doesn't know what the pages. 122. 122. What does lasas malachtoi mean, Avram? You see that? Right. Three lines on the left on the column, left of him. Rabu Shmuel. There's a machlokes. What did he go to do the work? Chadom malachtoi mamosh. One says he went to do his work in the house.
Yeah.
He was the accountant.
Yeah,
he came to do the work. He came to have relations with her.
He knew he was going to go and have relations with her? That's what
Shmuel says. Look in the text. Look. V'chadomar, lasay tzarachad ima. And the other one says, no, he went in. He knew nobody was home. Why did he go? Let's swing, baby.
I think he needs a harrow.
Well, look what it says. That's what it says here. Look. Look at footnote Dalet, Moshe. Footnote Dalet. You with me or get me in this?
Yeah.
How do we know that? Footnote Dalet, Moshe. Want to read? Perish HaTosfot. Dalet. Footnote Dalet. You show him footnote Dalet there on the bottom here.
Perish HaTosfot. Sotal.
Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis. Go ahead. Midichsiv.
Midichsiv.
Vayovai Habayta. Vayovo Habayta. Shahu Meloshin Bia. What does Bia mean? Sexual relations? Zel Moisa. The word Vayovo is extra.
Mm-hmm.
Why tell me he came into the house? So Toysa says this Tana holds, this Amoira holds, that it's Loshin Bia. He came to have relations with her. Ella, at the last minute, what happened? The Must Yoikno Shel Aviv. At the last minute, what happened? Back in Rashi, Moshe. Who appeared to him? Who?
Yaakov.
The image of his father, Yaakov, and he what? And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Right? The Mistyokno, the image of his father appeared to him, and he didn't do it. Yeah? How do we know that? Footnote, hey. Perisho Atosfot. You see the next footnote?
Yeah.
Perisho Atosfot. B'shem Ramosha Darshan. The Ein Ish Man Shabayisham. There's no human being in the house. Masma, the Ish Acha Hoya Babayisham Manu Yaakov. There was no Anshe Habayis there. There was no local servants there. But there was someone else there.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the someone else?
Yaakov. Mm-hmm.
Yaakov. Wee.
You knew that the whole thing.
Anshe Habayis weren't there. But there was someone else there who was not Anshe Habayis. Yaakov. And therefore, he didn't do the deed. So doesn't this go Avram against the grain? The Mishnah says, Heve don kol adam lekaf schus. So if you can learn that he went to do his work, mamish, he went innocently to do the bookkeeping, what right do you have, Harold? What right do you have to judge him so negatively? Is that Kashana, Rav? Are you with me on this or not?
Yeah.
Is that Kashana? Kashan?
Why you judge him so negative for what? He went to do his work, right?
So if Rav says that he went to do his work innocently, what right does Shmuel have to touch it negatively? The rabbis are going against their own rule. The Mishnah says you have to, when you have two ways that you can look at a situation, you always have to what?
Favorably.
Judge favorably. So how could the rabbi go against his own teaching? Here he's judging unfavorably when he can judge like Rav favorably. Help! Moshe, is that a question?
Is there a disagreement between two rabbis?
Yes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says he went to do his work innocently.
And Shmuel
says... Shmuel says, no, he went to do a number on her. So question...
Oh, because...
If the Mishnah says you have to... If there's an incident, and you can look at it two ways, you must look at it positively.
Positive.
How could Shmuel look at it unfavorably?
Yeah.
Isn't he going against his own Mishnah?
He had some evidence,
but what was the word? By your boy. So what about Rav? Rav also read the pasuk by your boy.
He's not going in there for Pir Shema. He's not going there for Pir Shema. He just went there. He knew that she was there, and he shouldn't even be there.
But Rav says he went innocently to do the books.
Yeah.
It was the day of the taxes were due, H&R Block. He went innocently to do the taxes. So what right, Avram, does Shmuel have to judge? The Mishnah says when you can look at an incident both ways, you should always judge favorably.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Shmuel is judging unfavorably.
Squeezing out something.
Negative.
You have to search for it.
You hear my question?
No. Yeah.
No, I'm not helping
you. You don't like the question?
No.
Well, maybe there's no
way to look favorably.
Maybe there isn't a way to look favorably in a situation.
But Rav. Doesn't Rav look favorably? Rav judged him favorably.
How could
Yosef HaTzadik judge him favorably? Rav judged him favorably. Shmuel didn't.
The other thing.
See, both of these are one saying he went to have a relationship. Is that judging favorably?
That's judging unfavorably.
Unfavorable.
So how come he doesn't follow Rav? Rav says no, he went to do the books.
He wasn't going.
I don't know.
Is it a good cash Avram? You understand the question?
Maybe Shmuel is a person that doesn't judge favorably.
He's a great rabbi. You're talking to great rabbis of the Talmud. How could he go against his own Mishnah?
You
get a cash?
Understand now?
Understand the question? You look at this.
He somehow was thinking that was.
If you look at it like Rav, how do you have a right to go and look at it like Shmuel? The Mishnah says...
Well, couldn't you say the same
thing
with Noah?
Kaf schus. We're not talking about Noah. Let's talk about this now.
He was judging unfavorably that he was testing himself. He was going to go in there and he was going to pass the test. He wasn't...
You know how to put yourself at risk.
I understand, but that might be a favorable interpretation. That he put himself at a test, but he was going to pass the test even without...
You're saying good, but I'm fine.
Yaakov helping him.
Even Shmuel! Who brought Yaakov's image in? He, with his last ounce of willpower, he conjured up this... Yaakov didn't leave his house, but with his last ounce of strength, he conjured up the image of his father in his head. That's judging favorably. Imagine a young, handsome boy like him about to give in, and with his last ounce of willpower,
Miss America,
he held himself back. What a hero he is.
What a Kiddush Hashem.
What a Kiddush Hashem. Yaakov did not appear from nowhere. In his own head, he did this to conjure up the image of his father, and this held him back. It's all due to his koiches hanefesh. That's not judging unfavorably. That's also judging favorably. Perhaps even more. That he held himself back at the last minute.
But we're not going to do this right.
What?
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home.
I'm going to go very close to this building, but not him. I'm going to go in and conjure up my dad's image.
It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to go commit a sin, you're going to do it and finish it. But I don't know how you change his
mind. That's his greatness. He's going to do a sin, And at the last minute, he held himself up because he did what it took. And he imagined his father staring at him. But that was his karkas hanefesh that he conjured up the image. Can you imagine what kind of hero he is?
But he also
That's even more favorably judged.
But he also made a big mess for himself and got all sorts of trouble with his accused.
He's human. He's a human being, with his, but he had this willpower. That's his karkas hanefesh. That's judging favorably. That's also judging favorably.